Okie dokie. So, welcome to Glow. If you've arrived since we started chatting away, this is our family service. We do this once a month, and so it means that we get to all be in the same space for the whole of this service, which is great. And by family service, what we don't mean is you come with your family, although people do. What we mean is we are the family together, aren't we? We're the church family. So whether you're the only person in your sort of birth family here or whether you've got all of them with you, we're together as a church family, all as one. So, yeah, it's great to see you all this afternoon. And just a little warning ahead of the service, it's going to be a little bit nuts at points, okay? And it's going to get messy. So I'll be looking for lots of willing volunteers. Children, there's going to be opportunities for every single one of you to get involved. There's going to be prizes on offer for various different things. Grown-ups, there's going to be even worse opportunities for you to get involved. I mean, even more exciting opportunities for you to get involved as well. So, first opportunity to get a prize is a little recap. So last week, now you did this in your kids group as well, we talked a little bit about blessing, didn't we? And you guys have just been talking about how you've blessed people this week. Now, I have a small bag of Haribo for any of the children who can tell me. When we've done this thing called beats, where we've looked at the different letters, the first letter is B, and B, that stands for bless. Now, the second letter is an E, an E. And that stands for something else. Can any of the kids tell me what the E stands for in beats? Hand up, and the first person to put the hand up, if they answer correct, will get a prize. Does anyone know? Thomas, do you know what it is? Give him a clue. Do you know it? Are you signing it? Perfect. Thomas has got it exactly right. It's eat. Give a round of applause for Thomas. Right, Thomas, you get to pick a prize out of there. Well done, buddy. That's right. So, in week one, last week we talked about blessing others. Now we're talking about eating others. No, now we're talking about eat, okay? And how we use food as an expression of what we're about as Christians. Now, you might think, well, okay, if you've got a list of things that are really important to a church, how can eating be on one of the top priorities? How does that deserve to be something so important? Well, we find out very quickly when we read the Bible that Jesus used a lot of food and a lot of drink to make various different points, that eating and drinking with his friends was central to the way that he did things. And so we try to copy Jesus' way of life and do the things that he did. So today we're going to explore together as a whole church family what it means for us to value eating as something being really important for us in our journey of faith. Does that sound all right? Fantastic effort, everyone. Well, all three of you came to the front, did superb action. So would you like to take a prize? Caleb, would you like to take a prize? David, would you like to take a prize? Great actions. Grown-ups, you did really well too, but I'm afraid no prizes for you. Ruth is, of course, Ruth gets one. There's an exception to every rule, Ruth. No, thank you. Good. Look at that discipline. Superb. Excellent. Let's just pray together. God, it is so good to be able to worship you, even with songs with silly actions, and even if we're doing it like children, God. It's such a privilege to come and to sing your praise and to tell you how good you are today. God, thank you that you are a great big God. Thank you, God, that you hold us in your hands, that you protect us, that you look after us. We love you, Lord. Amen. Okay, we're going to play a game. And this game is called, ta-da, The Great British Butty Off. Okay, who watches The Great British Bake Off? Some people do. Okay, so you'll know in The Great British Bake Off that they have, what's the challenge where you don't know what you're going to do until you do it? Which one's that called? Is that the technical? Is that the technical challenge? Okay. We're going to do the technical challenge. Okay. So what I need is two volunteers, but these volunteers need to be grown-ups. Okay. Because this requires equipment that children can't use. Okay. Okay. So I'll just reveal what your equipment under here is. Okay. We've got bread and we have a tin of tuna. And we have two tin openers, okay? And I think Tim's about to line up some music for us. Okay, Keith, a bit too keen. So you're going to have 90 seconds to make the best tuna sandwich that you can make. It's not long at all. You're going to have to move fast. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
stop putty making. Okay, fantastic. Very good, Keith. Okay, so wonderful. Could you both stand and hold your plates up so everyone can see? Brilliant. A round of applause, please, for Scott and Keith. Mary, would you like to come and... Now, we've gone for two different approaches here. One's tuna with the mayo on top, and the other is all mixed together. Okay, then, quick decision. Which one do you think is the winner overall?
I think I'm going to have to
give Keith that. Oh, well done. Well, you know... Because you both did so well, gentlemen, I'll give you a prize to give to someone else, if that's okay. You can give those away. Well done. Oh, do you need a wipe or anything? Yeah, you could take it with you if you'd like it. There you go. Take some baby wipes with you. Always a dream. You can have your sandwich if you like it. You're welcome to it. I'd like to tell us a story. You ready for a story? Caleb, are you ready to hear a story? Yeah. Oh, they're too busy eating sweets and balancing. Okay. We're going to tell a story about Jesus. So this story comes from the Bible, and this is a really interesting story about a special meal that Jesus had. So this story takes place after Jesus had returned from the dead. He'd been risen again, and he started to make appearances to the disciples in different places and at different times. And this is the story of one of the times when Jesus appeared to the other disciples. So the disciples were kind of chilling out one day, and they thought, you know, Jesus doesn't seem to be around anymore. What are we going to do? And now a few of the disciples, their trade, their business that were in before they started following Jesus was being fishermen. And so they said, well, why don't we go and do some fishing? And the rest of the disciples said, great, we'll get involved. And so the disciples went off fishing in the evening. And they fished all night. Now, these are professional fishermen. So they'd been fishing all the way through the evening, all the way through the night. It was getting to the early hours of the morning. How many fish do you think that they caught? How many fish do you reckon they caught? Spot on. They didn't catch a single fish. Not one single fish. And then they saw a man on the shore. And that man, although they didn't realize it at first, was Jesus. Jesus was stood on the shore, and he was looking out over the water, watching them struggling away with their fishing nets. And Jesus called out, friends, haven't you caught any fish? Now, I think he was playing a bit of fun with them. I think he's kind of maybe smiling to himself like, you've been up all night and you haven't caught any fish. But Jesus said, friends, haven't you caught any fish? And they said, no, we haven't. So do you know what Jesus said? He said to take their nets, and he said to throw them out on the other side, onto the right-hand side of the boat. And he said, throw them out and you'll get some fish. Now, bear in mind, Jesus wasn't a professional fisherman. He didn't know better than those fishermen, because they really knew what they were doing in the business. But Jesus said to them, throw your nets on the other side. And I don't know what the disciples thought. I don't know if they thought, oh yeah, great idea, let's do it. Or whether they thought, who's this guy? Who does he think he is telling us what to do? But for whatever happened, they decided, well, we might as well give it a go. And so they threw their nets over to the other side, and instantly they caught a whole net full of fish. They caught 153 fish. Someone took the time to count them all. It says in the Bible they caught 153 fish. And there were so many fish in the net, they could barely hold on to it. These big, strong fishermen were clinging on to the nets for dear life. You can see them there grabbing on, trying to keep hold of these 153 fish. And then one of them turns around and says, you know what? That's Jesus. That man, he must be Jesus to tell us that and to know that stuff. That's Jesus. And then Peter goes, no way, it is Jesus. And do you know what he does? He jumps into the water and swims to the shore because he wants to go and see him. And he swims up and he goes to see him and he says hello to Jesus. And they wait for the other guys to get in as well. And the disciples come in. And do you know what Jesus is doing? Jesus is sitting around. He's already got some fish, by the way. So he'd already managed to have a little successful fishing trip while they were struggling in the night. He's got some fish on the fire. He's got some bread in a basket. And he's cooking up some lovely fish butties, just like Scott and Keith have been making in this last game. He's cooking up some food for them. And he says to them, come and have some breakfast. And the disciples are just amazed because the Bible tells us that they didn't really know what to say to him. They were like, should we ask him loads of questions or should we just... But they had a time. Can you imagine? Early morning, the sun's just starting to rise. A fire on the beach. The disciples are all sat around with Jesus, having some quality time. Enjoying spending time together. That's the kind of thing that Jesus decided would be a good use of his time. Come and have some breakfast. Come and spend some time with me. And he went on to use it as a time to chat as well to one of his disciples, particularly called Peter. So they had breakfast and then used it as a time to tell him some important things that he needed to pass on to others, that he needed to look after the other disciples and the other people who followed Jesus. He said, look after my sheep. He said, feed my sheep. Sometimes he described his followers as sheep. And there's this incredible thing in the Bible about the way that Jesus used stories to have connection with people, used meals to have connection with people, to have conversations with people in a special way. And it's something that we can do as well. Jesus used meals as a way to have quality time with people around him. I wonder, how could we do the same kind of stuff? How could we use meals and mealtimes to gather around together, maybe to gather around a table? Jesus gathered around a campfire. But maybe if we gather around a table, how can we use those kind of things to bless others? Thinking back to last week, how can we use meals to create a space to have great conversations? How many people here use some sort of social media? Some can, okay. What's people's favorite? Facebook, people into Facebook? Yeah, anybody do Twitter? I like Twitter a little bit, okay, not so many people. What are the social, are there any others that are people's favorites? Instagram, anybody do Instagram? Okay, Instagram's good because it's mostly pictures and stuff. You get to show some cool pictures. Let me tell you this. Do you know what the original social media is? This thing, a table. And a table remains the best form of social media. Because if social media is the point of connecting with other people, is of having conversations, then that's exactly what this thing is for. Though when we sit around with other people, just like Jesus did, and we eat food or we have a drink, then that's the best form of socializing. And it's something we could do in any place, at any time. Maybe those of you who go to school could think about, how could you use your dinner break, your lunch break at school, how could you use it to have some quality time with some of your friends? Maybe have a think about that. Those of you who are at home with other people, maybe with your mum and dad, maybe if you've got kids or husband, wife, partner, other family members that live in the same house, how can you use your meal times as a way of gathering together around the table and thinking about Jesus? I wonder when we're at home, this is a challenge to everyone, when we're at home and we're eating food, do we dare to turn the TV off when we do it? Do we dare to have a no mobile phones rule while we eat our food? Do we dare to put other distractions away so that we can actually all sit around? Maybe do we dare to put our toys down while we sit round and have quality time, like Jesus did often with his friends? And Abby is going to just come and say a little bit about some of the ideas that she's had of things that we do in our family around mealtimes that hopefully might be a good idea for the kind of things you might want to do.
So we do have a no mobile phone rule at the dinner table and the breakfast table. And we also have no toys when we eat food as well, which isn't always massively popular. And we try to eat round the table, particularly if we eat with Caleb. We always eat round the table. And then when we have breakfast, we each share what we love about each of the member of the family. So like I would say what I love about Phil and Caleb and Josiah, and each person says it about each other person, because we want to get the boys into like cheerleading each other on and encouraging each other. And then when we have our tea, we talk about what our favourite bit of the day has been and if any bits of the day have made us feel sad. And then we say thank you to Jesus for the best bits of the day, and we pray about any bits that have made us feel sad.
Brilliant. Thanks, love. That's great. So meals and food and eating, one of the reasons it's so important for us as a church is that it's a place, the table is a place of connection to each other, and it's a place of conversation. Have you heard the phrase, a family that eats together stays together? What about a church family that eats together stays together? I like that. Maybe that's something that we could work on doing more and more of as a church. Okay, oh, we've got another game now. Okay, Stella and Franzi, you're going to distribute these bits of paper around the room. So just anywhere's fine on the floor, spread them nice and wide. So we're going to play a little game of hunt the Bible verse, okay? So there is some bits of paper that have been spread around the room, and I'd like all of the kids to help find the words for the Bible verse. Okay, now some of these bits of paper are blank. They don't have anything on, and some of them have black writing on the underside of them, okay? So I'd love it if all of you, you guys at the front, if you guys could come and help as well. We're going to have Tim's going to play a track of music. I'm going to do a 5-second countdown, and then it's going to be find as many bits. In fact, you girls at the back can play as well. So we're going to do a 5-second countdown once they're all spread out. If Tim's ready with the music. Is everybody ready to go? Okay, so I want to find all the bits of paper that I've written on. When you've got one, I want you to bring it to the front here, okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Bring them across the front, that's it. Come and stand across the front in a line and let's see what words you've got. Brilliant, 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 brilliant. Okay, let's see what we've got. That's it. Do you want to come and stand in the line as well? And we're going to get you all into the right order, okay? Now, this one goes first, so do you want to go to that end? Who's got... How do we manage that? I'm actually quite amazed. Right, what I want you to do is, if you guys all scoot this way a little bit, so you're all close together, so we can hold all the bits of paper really close to each other. Keep coming this way. That's it. Now hold them up next to each other like this so we can read them. So it says, there's some interesting words here. It says, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? What a strange verse to have as a verse we read out. Now, to understand this, we might need to hear the rest of the story. So I think Shannon's going to come and read. Is Shannon going to come and do it? Someone's going to come and read. Sorry, while you guys can stay here if that's okay. And we're going to hear the rest of this story. From Shannon.
Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Fantastic. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate that. So this verse says, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And that's something that the people said to Jesus. Do you know why they said that to Jesus? Because Jesus was really, really kind. And he hung out with all sorts of people that no one else would want to hang out with. And so other people that they thought were, they didn't like tax collectors, you see, and they described lots of people as sinners. And so they said, oh, you shouldn't hang out with those kind of people. But Jesus was kind and he liked to share meals with all those kind of people. Isn't that great? Brilliant. Guys, do you want to put your piece of paper back on this table? Thank you so much for helping. If you've not yet had a pack of sweets, do you want to take some with you and you go? Well done, everyone. Thank you. So isn't that incredible, the way that Jesus chose to sit down and eat with the kinds of people that no one else was interested in? I wonder what that would actually look like for us if we tried to do that. If we made a decision to try and maybe spend some of our time and energy sitting down and sharing a coffee with the kind of person that no one else would want to. Maybe there's someone in your workplace who no one else is particularly interested in, who you think, actually, I could give them some time and share my packed lunch with them, or just sit down with them in our lunch break. Maybe there's someone at school who no one else really talks to, and you think, actually, I could be really kind and I could sit down next to them when I have my school dinner. Maybe there's someone on your street who no one really kind of talks to and people ignore. Aren't they exactly the kinds of people that Jesus would have said, oh, let's get together, let's have a meal, let's spend some quality time together? A little challenge for us there. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. So the Bible says that when we share our food and our stuff with the poor, that we will be blessed ourselves. Isn't that cool? And there's different ways to be poor. You can be poor by not having any money to buy food, but you could maybe also be poor because you don't have friends. Maybe you could also be poor because you don't have a community to be part of. Maybe you can also be poor because you don't know Jesus. So who are the people that we might want to share some food or a drink with to show them that we care about the poor in the same way that Jesus did? Okay, so that's, the table is a place of connection and conversation, and the table is a place of unity where we're all equal, we're all the same, we come together, and acceptance, where there's people who other people reject and we say, yes, actually we choose to accept you. That's another thing that the meal is for. Okay, everyone, you doing well with energy levels? We've got one more game, okay? Right. We can do some clearing up in the little room at the side there, if that's any help. Well done, Ruth. What a great sport. Give them one last round of applause. Well done. You okay? You've managed to clean up your hands all right. Good job. Do you need another wipe? Yeah, okay. Fantastic. Yeah, you can always go and wash them in the loo if you need to. Whew. Well done, everybody, for sitting down and watching that. Great. Great effort. Okay. There is a point to this, just. The point is it's fun to throw chocolate spread at people, but the other point is this, that heaven is often described as being a feast. That the image of what it's like to spend the rest of our eternity with our God, it's like being invited to the most incredible banquet. And the thing about food is, it's enjoyable, isn't it? Like, we love to eat. We love to eat great meals together. We love to drink great drinks together. And whether it's chocolate and marshmallows, or whether it's the best Sunday roast you've ever had, whatever it is, that sharing food with others is enjoyable. That it's a joyful thing to do. And the reason it's good, in some ways, is because eating good food is like a celebration of all the amazing things that God's made. If you love grapes and you get to enjoy eating grapes, or maybe even drinking wine, it's a celebration of the goodness that God has put into his creation. Part of our role in creation. God instructs us to fill the earth and to subdue it. And now my understanding of subduing the earth is that we use the resources to recreate, to continue to make things. And so when we manage to turn grapes into wine, it's like a celebration of God's creation, but we're continuing the process of making new things. When we can turn bits of grain into bread, when we can somehow work out whatever goes into making marshmallows and create that, that it's a celebration of using the good things that God's provided us with to make something new, to continue joining the work of his incredible creation. And what a pleasure it is to be able to eat and share it together. And so actually, when we eat and drink together, it can be an act of worship for us. Do you say grace when you eat a meal? Do you take the time to just say, thank you, God, for this incredible thing that you've made? Thank you, God, for good food and for good drink. If you don't, I encourage you to do it. It's a great thing to do when you have a meal. Even if you're just sitting eating on your own, thank you, Lord, that you've provided this good food for me to eat. Like all of God's good gifts, they're created to be used in certain ways. And actually, all of the things that God gives us, we have to have a really healthy relationship with. And so there is a big difference between enjoying food and what the Bible might call sometimes gluttony, which is basically being really like too greedy for food. That actually we're encouraged to have a healthy relationship with the stuff that God's given us. And so whilst eating a wonderful meal might be a celebration of how great God is, that actually, if we take that too far, and actually if we end up being sort of greedy people who depend on food in a way that is unhealthy, then perhaps that isn't a celebration of God's goodness in quite the same way. Perhaps it isn't honouring to God in the same way that he intended. Because it is possible, isn't it? And I know this from personal experience. It is possible to overindulge when it comes to food. Because we have a responsibility to look after the bodies that God gave us and to be good to our bodies. And as Christians, as people who believe in Jesus and follow Jesus, we have different views, grown-ups, I'm sure, between us, on alcohol, for example. So some Christians would say, actually, as a sign of me honouring God, I'm going to choose not to drink any alcohol at all. And if that's a decision you've made, then great, fantastic. Like, go for it. If that's a way that you choose to honour God, then that's a beautiful countercultural thing to choose to do. To say, actually, our culture misuses alcohol really significantly. I'm going to choose to use it, to not use it at all, as a way of saying, actually, I'm different. I'm dedicating this part of my life to Jesus. Some of us, me included, might have a different approach. I might choose to consume alcohol, but in a way that is well measured and in a way that is honouring to God still and isn't about overindulging, because there is a very big difference, again, just like with gluttony, between drinking and enjoying it. Of course, Jesus drank wine. Between drinking and enjoying and overindulging and getting into drunkenness and the challenges of the heart and mind that develop in that place. Drunkenness is not a celebration of God's joyful creation. It's very difficult to consider that worshipful, but to do things in a well-balanced way and a healthy way can certainly be called that. So if we think about food in a good way, if we think about the things that we drink in a good way, they can form, thank you, Ruth, they can form part of our celebration and our worship together as a community. Which leads us to the meal. The meal that Jesus gave us as a gift. Because of course we know, don't we, that the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, they gathered, actually not the last, because this was the last one, but the meal before, the last meal before he went to the cross, he gathered around the table, didn't he, and he broke bread. And he used the bread and he used the wine as a symbol of himself. He broke the bread and said, this is like my body being broken for you. So whenever you eat together, do this to remember me. And he shared the wine around. He said, this wine represents my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus chose to use the food. He chose to use the drink as a way of giving us a gift to remember forever his goodness for us on the cross, his goodness for us in dying for us so that we could live an eternal life with him. Next week, as we do every month, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to eat a bit of bread and drink a bit of wine or juice together as a way of continuing that remembrance that Jesus instructed us to do. And in that way, and in other ways, the way that we use our meals can be a real, genuine act of worship to God. And so, in summary, we gather together. And food, gathered around the table, drink, whether it's coffee, whether it's a beer in the pub, whether it's a quick brew, whether it's a meal, whether it's beans on toast. This isn't about being extravagant in everything that we do. This isn't about having to have loads of money and loads of stuff. It's about the simple things of life. The way that we share the food and drink that we have. We do it because it creates a place to connect with others, to have conversation, just like Jesus did. Because just like Jesus, it allows us to accept others who are maybe different to us. And we can all gather around the table and say, actually, we're all human. We're all the same. We're all in this in the same way. And finally, we do it because it's fun. Because there's joy in food. There's joy in drink. And in that, it can be an act of worship. So we're going to finish shortly by having our own version of a meal, which is a cup of coffee, some juice, maybe a biscuit if we're lucky. We're going to share together and enjoy it and use it as a chance to do those things. Before we do that, we're going to sing together. And we're just going to sing two songs. And if you've not been to Glow before, this is the first time you've been here, we sing songs because we sing them to God. And we're here to tell God how great he is. And the first song we're going to sing is a song called Good, Good Father. And it's about how God is like the perfect father to us. No matter what our fathers are like, whether they're incredible or whether we never see them, our God is so trustworthy. He always loves us. And so we can sing to him and tell him how great he is. And so that's what we're going to do. So I ask you, if you're happy to stand, that'll be great.